Father, I thank you for Craig and for everything that you've put in his heart to share. And Lord, I just want to pray afresh for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him, upon his words. God, I thank you that you have given him a word to say. And I really believe that there's certain people here that really need to hear what Craig's going to share this morning. And out of that, Lord, you're going to speak and move. And so, God, I pray that you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. So come and fill Craig afresh. God, thank you for everything you're doing in him and in his life. God, thank you for that anointing that you've put on him. Lord, will you bless and encourage him through your word through him today? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we've got all the technology working? Good, good. So much technology. So some of what I'm going to be sharing this morning will pick up on what I shared back in February. And so I'll do a recap of that word that I brought on the 14th of Feb. But I'm not going to dwell too much on that, because what I believe that God is wanting me to share again is out of my own experience and the journey that God is taking me on. And I guess it's important to remember throughout all I'm going to share this morning is that it all starts with prayer, and it has to be sustained in prayer. But that's not always easy, and I'll talk about that. I think it's also important to remember that whatever stage of life we're at, God has a calling for us. He has a new call for us. I must get one of those old guys rule T-shirts made with the right something about the calling on the back. We can still hear, and it's important that even us old guys are hearing that new call as well as the young ones. John came up to me whilst we were worshiping, and he asked me to share a word that he believed God was speaking into him, which was about our praise and our worship and the prayers that we were all praying, and that exuberant praise. And God is pleased with that exuberant praise. And it comes from that peace, that rock within us that enables that praise and that worship to spring forth out of that rock. But God also, as I was praising and worshipping earlier on and just listening to God, he put something else into my head that isn't here on my iPad. That's always a challenge, isn't it? And it was in those words about I will love God. And my belief is that there are some here this morning, and probably some out there with their children or even in the groups, that find those words very difficult. That find it difficult because of the place they're in. But I think it's important to remember that loving God is not about our emotions. It's an act of will. And it's about continuing to love God even in the difficult times. And I know from my own experience that sometimes it's like walking through, as we would say in Lancashire, slutch. It's that sticky mud that you put your feet down and your welly comes off because it's so hard work walking through that mud. And that's how it can feel sometimes. At other times it can feel like, as I was sharing with somebody this week, that we're sitting on the edge of a cliff looking out to sea, but there's a really thick mist. And we know there are ships out there. We know there are things out there at sea, but we can't hear or see what's going on. And in those instances, it can feel like you're shouting into the mist and nobody's listening. And it's difficult in those situations to carry on. But we are called to carry on. And the analogy, I think, is twofold. One, we can actually let go of God's hand, and we can turn away from God. And there are times in our life, perhaps, where we've turned away from God, and all we need to do is just turn back to Him, repent of what we've been doing wrong, turn back to Him, and reach out and hold on to His hand, because His hand is there ready. There are other times when, just like a child learning to walk, as a young Christian, God says, okay, I've been holding your hand, helping you walk. I'm now going to let go of your hand, and you're going to learn to walk on your own. And in those instances, God is still there walking alongside us. And again, we can reach out and hold His hand. But it's knowing that He's there. And it's that will, it's reaching out. And I said I was going to share out my personal experience, didn't I? And this last couple of weeks, I realized that my relationship with one of my daughters is getting thin. Kerry, it's not you. That my relationship with one of my daughters was getting thin, and I needed to do something about it. So I took the initiative to ring her up and say, hey, let's just have lunch. No agenda, no outcome, which is always a suspicion when I ring anybody up. Let's just have lunch, and I'll come wherever it's easy for you. And sometimes it's like that with God, isn't it? We've got to take the effort. We've got to say, okay, God, where do you want me to be? Where do I need to take time out? No agenda. I'm just going to come and sit with you and spend time with you. And so if you believe that your relationship with God is getting a bit thin, if you've been sitting there amongst all those prayers, all that worship, and you've been thinking, I don't understand this, I don't feel part of it, then I'd urge you to just reach out. I was in that place probably for 2 years, and I've shared this before. God wasn't calling me anywhere else, and so like a good soldier, I obeyed the last command, and I stayed where I was. And God brought me back. But for 2 years, I sat here in SCF and didn't know why I was here. So I know what it feels like. Okay, none of that was on my iPad. So, recapping from where we were, if you remember, we ran a series about calling, character, and community. And I was asked to share on calling. And that was really about looking back as well, about the character of Christ, people seeing Christ in us, when we speak, people hearing the word of Christ. When they see us, they see Christ in us, or see something of Christ in us. And it's about more of him and less of us in our lives. And as we seek to live out kingdom wherever God puts us, whether it's here in Shirley or whether it's at work or in college or wherever, we strive to walk closer with Jesus. We strive for that spiritual walk with Jesus to become ever more meaningful. And that's a day-by-day activity. And it's something we're all, as once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's something that we're all called to do on a day-to-day basis. And that means laying our lives down. That means putting aside our own preferences and saying, okay, God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? And that's difficult. And there's always a danger that we wear that Christian cap badge, but we misrepresent Christ. And people look at us and say, aha, you call yourselves a Christian, but. And so there's always that danger of misrepresenting Christ, and none of us want to do that. And Dave Wart, shared with us, if you remember, about those icebergs. And he said that those icebergs can sink any ship. And so we all need to be careful in that. But in talking about calling, there's this sense that we're called out of something, that we're called towards something, and that there's some purpose, that we're building. We're building something, there's something there that we're creating from. And if you remember, we talked about the importance of building on solid foundations and that recognizing what God has built into us. And we also shared about the importance of resolving issues, or else they're actually going to come and trip us up at some point in the future. So let's just read some scriptures together. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 5, and we'll start at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. When we're called to be giving our lives to Christ, this isn't a recipe for an easy life. God is going to refine us, he's going to grow us, and that means that we will have difficult times. And turn with me now, if you like, if you would, to James 2. And the section there, excuse me, I've got some hay fever this morning, so. I'm just going to read the last part of that. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made perfect by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Christianity is an active faith. As I said earlier about loving God, that's a verb. It's a doing word. We're called to love God. We're called to be out there to be salt and light in the world. And then in Matthew 14, starting at verse 28, this is the famous passage of the boat and Peter getting out of the boat. Lord, it's you, Peter replied. Tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. So you see, there's a sequence there. There's a sequence that applies to us in our day-to-day life. Peter had a God-given desire. He had a God-given desire to go and walk on the water and go to Jesus. He called out to Jesus in prayer. He then heard Jesus speak to him. And then he obeyed and he stepped out. And he put his faith into action in stepping on the water. And it was only when he took his eyes off Jesus that he started to sink. So this is what I was saying earlier. It starts with prayer, and prayer has to continue through it. Because that way we don't take our eyes off Jesus. We continue to focus on him, and it's him that allows us to walk where he wants us to walk. So some key elements from what we talked about in February. We talked about the importance of building on solid foundations and of the importance of role models. And you remember I spoke about my family when I was growing up. And seeing what was happening with my parents, my grandparents, my uncles, knowing what it was to be a man, knowing what it was to work hard, to care for my family, to love my wife. I saw that in action in my family. I had those role models around me. But my heart goes out that there are so many young men these days who get to the age of 18 and have not had a single positive role model, male role model, in their life. What does that do for the foundations that they're building on? Our history, what God has built into us, knowing where we're starting from. And it's important to be secure in where we're coming from. And grandparents, older people within the congregation, you have a role to play. Particularly if your children and grandchildren don't know the Lord. You have the ability to speak in to that younger generation. To let them know where they're coming from. To speak in to the younger people in the church. Build a relationship with them. Speak into them. It's important that they know what God has put into them. And if you don't have that background, if you don't have that security, then your security in Christ and who you are in Christ is even more important. And if you don't have that security, then there'll be prayer at the end of this morning. And people would love to pray with you so that you know in your heart, deep down, that you have that rock. You have that peace that John was talking about earlier. It's also important to know where we're going and to have that vision of where God is calling us. And people speaking into us becomes hugely important. And we can either have people speaking into us positive things, or indeed sometimes people speak negative things into us. And my experience is it's hugely difficult sometimes to hold on to those positive things that people have said into us, but very, very easy to hold on to the negative things that people have spoken into us. And again, that's an act of will. Some of you will remember the 8-track stereos that used to go round and round in a loop, and those thoughts go round and round in our heads. And we have to break the loop. We have to make a conscious decision to break the loop when those negative words come into our minds, so that we hold on to the good things that people have spoken into us. And we also have a responsibility to speak into people. So when God gives us a word, to speak that out. But I'd say speak out what God has given you. Don't embellish it. Don't give an interpretation. Just speak the words that God has given you. And you remember, those that were here perhaps in February, how I shared about when I was serving in my mum and dad's shop as a young guy, probably 13, 14. And a lady spoke into me. And 45 years later, and a few, I still carry that word that lady spoke into me then. So, again, if God puts a word into your mind for somebody, then bring it, but bring it wisely. We also talked about God giving us, using what God has built into us, using our talents, and not burying our talents. And it's one of my big things that I hate to see people with talents not knowing God's call on their life and not using those talents. And as Andrea said the other week, we don't want to get to heaven and God to say to us, you had potential. I gave you talents and you didn't use them. So we're all called to use those talents that God has given us. We've all been given talents. They're all different, but we're all called to use them. And you remember I spoke about grit. And Bill Hybels at the 2015 Willow Creek Leadership Summit said that research had shown that the number one reason why people with potential don't actually achieve that potential is because, not because of their gifting, but because of a lack of grit. And I'm going to read his definition of grit. Passion to persevere, unremitting long-term commitment, long-term tenacity, every last drop of effort within them. Not whimpering, whinging, or quitting when the going gets tough. Gritty people expect the job to be hard. They expect problems. But the Holy Spirit's power within them gives them the will, determination, grace, and strength to overcome. Grit develops through practice. And it's this, what I was reading earlier about perseverance, etc. It's the piece of grit in the oyster that produces the pearl. My prayer for SCF is that we would be a gritty people. We would hang in there when things are tough because we know the Holy Spirit living and working and moving within us. So that's my recap from last time. And I guess in this 400th year of the celebration of the birth of William Shakespeare, I couldn't come this morning and not bring a quote from Shakespeare, could I? So here's an extract from The Seven Ages of Man. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. Many of you know that poem. At this point, girls, please don't switch off. We, as men, need you girls to inspire us, to remind us, to coach us, to keep pushing so that we become the men that God has called us to be. And it doesn't matter whether you're a wife, a daughter, a friend, a sister here in the church. You have a role to play in holding us men to account, that we become the men that God has called us to be. All of us, as I said earlier, we need to be intentional in our discipleship, and we need to be intentional of how we do life, and we need to take an active responsibility for our discipleship. The author, church leader, academic George MacDonald talks about the parallels between chronological age, i.e. how old we are on our next birthday, versus our psychological age. And he draws some parallels. And he says, at the start we talk like dreamers. It's all ahead of us. It's all to come. In the middle years, we talk like innovators. It's new, exciting, the energy levels are high. But with greater experience, we begin to talk like a visionary. But then, in our later years, we realize that there are lots of shades of grey, that we've got some scars on our back, that we've been there, seen it, done it, got the t-shirt, and we start to talk like fathers. And we start to talk, we start to speak into future generations. And there is that, I believe, there's that fresh, compelling purpose and call for us older guys to speak into that next generation. So what does the voice of a father sound like? Some of us have been blessed to know the positive call of a father, and others perhaps have had a less good experience. But the voice of a father isn't about winning and losing. It's not about competing. It's not punitive. It's not about causing somebody pain. It's hearing the nudges of God, which I thought was, George MacDonald used that phrase, the nudges of God, which I thought was wonderful. It's hearing those nudges of God and then bringing those nudges of God in a sensitive way. It's about being a Barnabas. And there's those amazing passages in Acts where it's Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. And when Barnabas and Paul come to speak to the elders in Jerusalem, it's Barnabas and Paul who bring the account of speaking to the Gentiles. But then there's this breakup, and Paul and Barnabas have a big argument, and it's Barnabas who stands by John Mark, and it's Barnabas who takes John Mark forward and disciples and mentors John Mark. As fathers, it's important we know our flock, and that may not necessarily be our direct biological offspring. I believe that all of us have a flock. God has put people on our hearts to speak into, to care for, to love, and to cherish. And it's important that we know who they are, and the only way that we know who they are is by asking God and listening. And then it's important that we're present for those people, that we're there for them, that we take the time and the energy. And so sometimes you've got to go out of your way to actually make yourself available for people. And it's walking into their life, not them walking into our life. And again, many of you know that for a long time I worked with Vodafone down in Newbury. And as the girls were growing up, Monday to Friday, I used to stay down in Newbury. And the girls got to a stage where I knew I had to be around. I had to be around so that I was available for them to speak to me when they wanted to speak to me, rather than me creating a time slot at the weekend where they could come into my office and they could talk to me. So I had to take a choice, and at that point I decided that I would travel from Solihull to Newbury on a day-to-day basis. And I did that for a number of years. And I did that so that I could be available for the girls when they needed to be available. So a father is available for the people who God has given given as their flock. The other thing I think that's hugely important, and this is one of Gus's terms, is that we tune our frequency as transmitters to their frequency as receivers. That we make it easy for them to hear the message that God is giving us to bring for them. And sometimes that's difficult. That means using language, using terminology, perhaps not even saying certain things in order for that message to get through. The other question, I think, is how is my spiritual life different now at 60 plus than it was when I was 30? And we've got to recognize these seven ages of man. We've got to recognize that our spiritual life is different at different stages in our life. So when I was 30, questions going through my mind were, how on earth do I pay this huge mortgage? How on earth do I get enough sleep in order just to survive? How on earth do I find any time at all to go and do the things that I want to do, like going for a run or whatever else it happens to be? And how do I then fit my prayer life into all of that? At 60 plus, different set of questions going through my mind. What's my legacy? What's going to happen when I die? How long am I going to continue to be able to do the things that I can do now? What's going to happen to my wife and my children when I go? What am I going to do with my time? What's God's calling on my time? How am I going to use it wisely? Who am I going to speak into? And I was talking to some friends the other day about this, and I said, you know, At one time, I had a gold Emirates card. I did so much international travel that I had a gold Emirates card. Now, I have a senior citizens rail card. And that about sums up the difference in my life, I think. But one of those questions is how do I stay sharp myself, and how do I encourage others to stay sharp? And so sometimes that's about questions, isn't it? And I think when you're talking to somebody, it's important that you're listening to God and saying, God, what question should I be asking this person I'm talking to? I don't know about you, but I find that if people are asking me questions, it makes me feel valued. It makes me feel as though they actually care about me, that they want to know about me. But when I ask those questions and I'm listening to the answers, I'm actually learning about that person. I'm learning about the culture they're from, the group they're part of. And then I can then speak into their life. The other thing, I guess, as a question, is how many holy people do I know? How many people do I know that I see the light of Christ shining out of? How many people do I know who consciously seek to follow Christ in the day-to-day life? How many people inspire me to walk closer with God? And those are the people that I want to spend time with. Those are the people who I want to learn from. Those are the people whose example I want to follow. The other question that Gordon MacDonald posed at a conference we went to in February, and guys, I hope this makes you feel as uncomfortable as it did me. He said, men, how many male friends have you got who you can really speak into and who can really speak into you? How many male friends have you got who you can be really open with, who are going to walk with you? Now, he challenged us to write down 6 names. Now, I don't know about you, but I've gone through my life and I've made lots and lots of contacts. I've got lots of people that I could phone up, but I'm a bloke. And blokes don't tend to do that intimate conversation bit particularly well. And so I've taken up that challenge and I've come up with my list of 6 men who I am actively looking to build a relationship with. I'm actively looking out those 6 men who are going to... I've got some already. You know, I've got some guys who I pray with every Saturday morning. I've got some other guys who I spend time with. But who are those 6 men who are really going to speak into me? And so I've taken up that challenge. And I'd throw that out to you guys as well. Build those relationships, because those are the guys who are going to stand with you when life gets difficult. So I'm just going to whiz through these now. Some action points around putting all this into practice. Ask and listen. Like Peter in the boat, hear God, ask, and then listen to the call. Speak it out. Talk to people in your home group, those key friends. Share with those who you love. Plan and prepare. Listen to God, build the plan. He can always change it. Be ready to change it. Hold it lightly. But if you don't plan, failure to plan is planning to fail. And I only need to say to my girls the 5 P's, and they know exactly what I mean. So planning is always good, but hold it lightly and be prepared to change it. Push the doors. If you never push the doors, God isn't able to open them for you, or that's not the way he works. If you push the doors, he will keep the ones closed that he doesn't want you to go through, and he'll open the others. If you sit still and don't do anything, then you'll be there forever. Dive in the pool, swim around, see what it feels like, and then get out. If it doesn't feel right, and dive in somewhere else, but don't just sit on the side of the pool. Keep going back to God in prayer. I keep coming back to that. Journal. Write it down. Write your prayers down. And then when they get answered, you can go back to God and you can say, thank you. Thank you, you've answered my prayer. God's peace. Whenever I'm making a big decision, whenever I'm looking for a change in my life, if I've got God's peace, even though things get difficult, I know that I'm in the right place. Allow God to build, but recognize that God uses our hands and our feet to actually build those things. Things don't get built by magic, they get built by God's laborers actually getting out there, getting it done. Recognize that you are under authority, but also recognize that you have authority. You have authority to move in Jesus' name. You have authority to change the spiritual atmosphere. You have authority to go and change situations. Remain in Him. And whatever He gives you, give thanks, but hold it lightly. Hold it lightly, because it's God's gift and it belongs to God. And that's incredibly important. Be bold, be strong. As Sally once said to me when things were going really badly, protect your heart. Don't let bitterness take root in your heart. Don't let resentment take root in your heart. Don't listen to those negative words of the enemy so that they actually beat you down. And remember that grit, that hanging in there, because life isn't easy. And when you're there on the top of the cliff shouting out into the mist, it's that grit that holds you there. And in those quiet times, it's good to spiritually seek a picture of Jesus. And sometimes I see Jesus in a white robe walking by the river in the distance, and I know that He's there. And sometimes I'm sitting on a bench and He's there. I know He's there at the side of me. And it's good to have those spiritual pictures in your head. And it's good to hold on to them, because Jesus is there, He's close, He's walking with us. And the God's hand is there reaching out wherever we are. As Andrea brings the meeting to a close in a minute or two, we're going to play a song. And the song is just 4 minutes, so you might like to just sit and listen and reflect. Guys, I just encourage you, it's not a particularly bloke thing to do, but this is Willie Nelson and Chris Christopherson. These are blokes, and these are blokes singing about blokey stuff. So take some time, just sit and listen. Otherwise, if you're desperate for a coffee, go and have a coffee and that'll be fine. But we're going to play this track in a minute when Andrea closes. And the ministry team are going to be here. So if you want prayer, then they're going to pray for you too. So bless you this morning. Amen.